News. I'm Dave Packer. Israel striking Iran overnight. The unprecedented aerial bombardment in retaliation for an Iranian missile attack on Israel weeks ago.
A senior administration official said this should be the end of direct military exchange between Israel and Iran. This official says that Israel's strikes on multiple military targets in Iran were both precise and targeted. This official says that Israel did notify the U.S. ahead of the strike, but underscored that there was no U.S. involvement.
ABC's Selena Wang. 10 days until Election Day, former President Trump visiting Joe Rogan for an interview on his popular podcast before a rally in Michigan Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris rallying in Austin, Texas, along with music superstar Beyonce. E. coli cases linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounder is rising to 75 across 13 states. The CDC saying Friday at least 22 people hospitalized. Los Angeles Dodgers star Freddie Freeman hitting a grand slam in the 10th inning to win Game 1 of the World Series 6-3 over the Yankees. This is ABC News. A new report that American billionaire Elon Musk was once asked by Russian President Vladimir Putin not to activate his satellite service over Taiwan as a favor to China's president. No word if he's complied. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more.
The director of NASA, Bill Nelson, calling for an investigation into the startling Wall Street Journal report alleging regular communications between billionaire Elon Musk and Russian President Vladimir Putin. According to the journal, the discussions have been ongoing since 2022, focusing on personal topics, business, and geopolitical tensions.
Former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries is now sporting an ankle bracelet after pleading not guilty to bombshell sex trafficking charges alleging involving young male models. Jeffries is free on $10 million bond after he answered to one count of sex trafficking and 15 counts of interstate prostitution. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. During the politics season, while I do listen to all the words that folks say, I prefer to crunch the numbers behind all their fancy speeches. And the number I'm thinking about today is $7.5 trillion. That is a moderate estimate by the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget of what conservatives' plans will add to the national debt. This includes continuing tax cuts for the wealthiest people, and lowering the tax rate for some corporations, and it is a lot of money. And, you know, money's going to have to come from somewhere. We can't afford anything that might create cuts to Social Security or Medicare. Seniors who've paid into Social Security are counting on that money for retirement. I don't want us risking Social Security by adding $7.5 trillion to the national debt. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Agency has come under fire for not placing enough scrutiny on concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and tensions have been building in one Wisconsin county for years. Mike Moen reports.
Eastern Wisconsin farmer Nancy Utesh leads the advocacy group Kiwanee Cares, one of 13 organizations that sued the EPA over its lack of enforcement of factory farms. The agency itself has admitted that fewer than 30% of CAFOs have Clean Water Act permits. Still, the Ninth Circuit Court this month struck down the petition.
What we need is the really hardcore, meaningful solution building here.
Utesh says because the EPA has been slow to act, CAFOs have found ways to rapidly expand. According to Food and Water Watch, Kiwanee County has 36 factory farms, which produced over 2 billion pounds of waste in 2022, creating water contamination concerns. In their denial, the judges said even though the EPA acknowledges these issues, it's promised to further study manure pollution guidelines and commission a stakeholder subcommittee was not an unreasonable response. Utesh says as the legal wrangling plays out, farming communities continue to grapple with how to respond to the growing presence of industrial agriculture. That includes convincing enough community members to raise their voices.
The social dynamic of speaking out, it may affect your church group, school, any other activities you do, your job.
Advocates point to a key loophole in the permitting process. Under the current EPA rule, as long as factory farms are applying waste in accordance with a nutrient management plan Any discharges related to stormwater runoff are exempt from regulation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 33. Sunny Sunday, highs around 63. Warmer on Monday, breezy as well, a high near 70 degrees. And even warmer Tuesday, windy back to the low 80s.
Right now, it's 28.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former Illinois Congressman and former Tea Party member Joe Walsh. He's a firebrand, and he's going to light it up about why your vote matters more than ever.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning into this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. First, we're going to give a listen to the beginning of Wednesday's show with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trick V. Olson of the Lincoln Project. And they're here to keep us up to date on both presidential campaigns and where the polls are at.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Wednesday, October 16th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
Indeed, 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, a beautiful fall day, a little frost to the pumpkin around Wisconsin. Not sure if that's the case in Washington, D.C. We'll get into it in a minute with our guest, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. Trick V. Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital. At the bottom of the second hour, very excited, Ari Berman, great author, is this latest book called Minority Rule, The Right-Wing Attack on the Will of the People and the Fight to Resist It. I have it in my hot little hands. He's also a frequent guest on shows on MSNBC and elsewhere as well. Ari Berman coming up in hour number two. And also an update from the producers of Just a Bit Outside the Movie, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers closing in many theaters around Wisconsin tomorrow. We'll tell you when, where, and how to have your last chance to see the Brewers. But I want to start off, Mr. Zommers, it is Wednesday. It is... Oh, sorry.
We did that?
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I needed a two-humped camel today. It's been one of those days. What I really wanted to say here, happy 25th anniversary to my lovely and talented sister and my wonderful brother-in-law, Heather and Mike Galloy.
Happy anniversary.
Celebrating 25 years together. They've been so very helpful, particularly over the summer in being my on-site producers and help us do shows all over the state. So many thanks to Heather and Mike. They're celebrating because they're educators by teaching kids. They're in school today in the same city or the same location, more or less, as Pat Kreitlow in the beautiful Chippewa Valley area. Pat, you know all about teachers up there.
Yes, I do. Hello, how are you?
I don't know how this got set up this way. Kreitlow is behind it. There you go.
For those watching on the stream. I saw Trigvy. Yeah. Trigvy was hiding behind his microphone, so I thought I would hide behind the show logo up there in the corner. I'm fine, thanks. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
All right.
Yeah. Although I was also chagrined to see, actually I was very happy to see somebody called you out on Twitter for one of those things that I can't believe I didn't catch it. You've been putting noon, the show starts at noon CST.
Right. Central Standard
instead of CDT for Central Daylight Time. And I love that somebody out there, the name's Tom Brueggemann, thought to put a response in there and say, hey, sorry, pedantic point, but why don't you just use CT year round? So Tom, thank you for your service.
As Johnny Carson and others have said, I did not know that. I guess maybe somewhere in my brain I did. But, yeah, great point, Tom. I appreciate it. See, our listeners always keep us on our toes.
See, always learning something out there.
Pleasure to have you joining us from our nation's capital, as per usual, on a Saturday. Going to stick around a little longer. We appreciate that for our big guest later on in the show, Ari Berman. Mr. Trigvy Olson from our nation's capital. Trigvy, is it frosty yet out in D.C., or is it still pretty nice weather?
it's pretty chilly, Todd.
It got down to 72.
No, it was honestly, it was maybe like, I don't know. I got up really early this morning. I struggled to sleep this close to elections. So it's like five, maybe 4:45.
Right.
And I had the dog went bananas. The dog was not sleeping with my daughters. So I had to take the dog out because the missus is traveling for work.
Uh-huh.
And she's usually the one who's awake at that time. And it was really brisk. I was in my sleeping shorts and a t-shirt, and it was cold enough I ran back in to get a hoodie.
Thank you for confirming my suspicions. I asked Mr. Alba a little while ago. I said, look, I'm taking some time off after the election, and would you guest host? A few other people would guest host. What do you think about Trigvy? Could he guest host at 6 a.m., Todd, without missing a beat? Absolutely not.
No.
Trigvy cannot do 6 a.m. No,
I would struggle with that. I would do it for you, though, Pat.
Oh,
I would. That. I would totally. I could do it.
I
do it for airplanes. I could do it for radio.
Right.
Well, I just know that a man of your age is going to start waking up earlier and earlier all the time. And as a result, you know, like I always say, if I'm getting up this early, I might as well get paid for it.
It's true.
Well, speaking of sleep,
anyone who went to a lot of Led Zeppelin concerts as a late teenager, right, Pat?
That's right.
There you go. Well, speaking of sleepless nights, guys, let's get into this. I talked about it a little bit with Pat this morning. We'll let him go first, and then Trigvy. I think this is. I'm hearing from a lot of my friends and some family members who know I've been plugged into politics a long time, and just a lot of anxiety out there as we move closer to this election for various reasons. Pat, tell us what's on your mind in terms of this election now, just under 3 weeks away.
The dysfunction and in some ways the intentional dysfunction of Republicans in Congress. And what I was considering today was the scenario that, you know, Mike Johnson's making a lot of noise about, well, you know, we'll certify the election, you know, if it's fair. Well, that assumes Republicans hold the House, which is not a guarantee, but they could. But that also assumes that there's a Speaker of the House on January 6th. Mm. The House meets on January 3rd to begin their session and elect a Speaker. And as you know, the House Republicans have had some issues the past couple of elections in agreeing on a Speaker. So if Republicans hold the House, and it's a very narrow majority where, again, a couple of people, either way, a couple of people can be, I won't support you for Speaker unless you refuse to certify the election, and I won't vote for you for Speaker unless you stand for the rule of law and certify the election. Mm. You know, it's a lose-lose proposition there. So the only solution, of course, is you have to get whatever Republicans out of there who might be insurrection adjacent, as I like to say about Derek Van Orden.
I like that. Trigvy Olson, what say you as we move closer to Election Day 2024?
Today was pretty good. We have a lot of people. It's sort of bedwetting season over polling.
Yes,
I don't know if you guys
is.
Have noticed that.
Yes.
When you do research like that for a living, you sort of find all of that kind of comical. And it's amazing to me, the people who are wetting the bed. But the race has been pretty stable nationally. It's been pretty consistently 3 points, although you had 2 A-plus polls from the last cycle that came out within the last 12 hours that mm-hmm. show Harris's lead either 3 points expanding by 1 or 5 points expanding by 2 nationally. What that means for the good folks in Wisconsin is it's going to be really close, but that is generally a really good sign. And I do think Donald Trump wandering around the stage doing the white man's overbite, taking song requests, has kind of actually hit a nerve with people that there is something really strange going on with the man.
Yes, there is. I mean, he canceled another friendly interview. He basically, you know, wet the bed in a meeting yesterday with the Economic Club of Chicago or something like that, mm-hmm. where he could not answer basic questions about his own economic plan and his own economic ideology. He just kept saying tariffs will work, and you're wrong about tariffs, and I'm right about tariffs, and they'll work despite no evidence of that whatsoever. So, yeah, you definitely see people getting more concerned, the ones who were like, I think he's a little off, but, you know, I'd still rather have a Republican in there. And I think you're going to get more Republicans saying, I don't know. Maybe this is one I sit out.
Guys, because the three of us are political nerds in our own way, and I think we'd all say we're kind of proud of that. A lot of people, and most people aren't. Explain, if you could, to the general listening audience, why certain, you know, in this case, a lot of Republican or right-leaning, they call themselves polling places, but they're flooding this to offset the average. Pat, you want to go first?
Again, it's just a building of expectations because I'm definitely not the first one to say this, but, you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are going to declare victory, you know, really early, no matter what. And then they've set themselves up to say, you see, there were polls out that showed how close it was, or there were polls that showed us up by one or two. And never mind that these polls might be garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out there. So putting them out there and laying the groundwork for, again, continuing to deny the facts in front of you about a free and fair election and the results of it. Assuming we get that again, assuming we don't have so much interference in places like Georgia or Michigan, Arizona, even Wisconsin, that we don't know who the winner is going to be right away.
Yeah. And what will happen, and correct me if I'm wrong, either one of you, is that you'll have an organization that clearly is funded by Republicans, MAGA, conservatives, and they'll do a poll. And you can, if you don't want honest results, depending upon how you set it up, you can tilt a poll if you're in charge of it. And so they do that intentionally. Then they put a poll out showing Trump up by X number, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then in these national averages that get reported by legacy media, it's like, oh my gosh, now it's statistically tied because you flooded the average with polls that were tilted, correct?
And you know what you need to do about that is if you're one of the reputable polling operations out there, you need to call foul.
Right.
Yeah, you really do, because otherwise you get painted with a broad brush that it doesn't matter how scientific you try to be, how accurate you try to be. If you're not calling out the bad actors, you're going to get looped in with them. So this is truly a case where self-policing is required.
Yeah. Trevi?
There's a lot of junk polls. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like they're this is the thing, though. I had somebody ask me, well, are they not really asking anybody? It isn't so much that. It's all in how you weight the polls, right? And who you deem as likely to be voters. And some people, like if you're in Wisconsin, I have all these people, oh my God, the Emerson Wisconsin poll says blah, blah, blah. Well, who cares? Emerson doesn't know how to poll in Wisconsin.
Right.
Charles Franklin in the Marquette poll tells you what's happening, says somebody's up by a point or two. Believe it. You know, if you're in Iowa, the Seltzer poll, but the Des Moines Register poll. But the reality is, you know, this is classic playing on giving people what they want to hear and also trying to build narratives. And I don't know, the aggregation model is good until people figured out how to game it. And you game it by throwing out a million junk polls and having people like Nate Silver say, oh, we've got to put every poll in there. The people who need to really police it are the people who are doing these aggregators,
right,
quite frankly.
Quick question before we go to break. Listener on WMDX, when do the new U.S. senators and Congress people get sworn in? On the 3rd of January, correct, guys?
Correct.
Yep. Correct, 3rd of January. All right, come on back. Mark's on the line. You can be too. 855-752-4842. I don't know.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballot?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad,
Are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Been asked to guest host Up North News, or whether you're getting the real thing, Pat Kreitlow, right into your veins, right at 6 a.m. in the morning via the Civic Media Radio Network. That's the music you're going to hear. Great show every morning, 6 until 8, Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota. Pat Kreitlow, the host, joins us right now, along with Trigvi Olson, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Coming up in hour number two.
Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. I do recommend going on to civicmedia.us or wherever you get your podcasts and listening to the second hour of Wednesday's show from this week. We had Ari Berman, author of Minority Rule, on with a very fascinating conversation about how we got to this incredibly divisive political era that we're in and how Wisconsin has been key in a lot of it. We're listening to more of Todd's conversation with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Stay tuned.
Movie and tell us how it's going. They're also going to be starting to show it out in Los Angeles area as well. But right now, guys, we're talking about this election coming up in just under 3 weeks now. On the phone, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for holding through the break. What do you got for Pat and Trigvi?
Yeah, I've actually posted, you know, my challenge. I've posted on your Facebook page again today that unless these guys can actually condemn the fake electors conspiracy of election denialism and the insurrection on January 6th, they got no business running for office. That recognition of the 14th Amendment, you know, on another side, was challenged. Some guy was there talking about in Virginia, well, we're just not going to certify the vote. And I posted a challenge out there quoting the 14th Amendment that not recognizing the vote, certifying the vote is, I would maintain, is a denial or abridgment of the people's right to vote under the 14th Amendment. And mm-hmm. if Virginia so chooses to do that, they should lose representation in the House and the Senate. That's my understanding of what the penalty clause is in the 14th Amendment. I mean, that I'm sure. Not a constitutional scholar, though some people have questioned whether I was one or not when I have been in various events because of I'm able to trot some of this stuff out. But I mean, it is just the cowardice that I see on the behalf of, for example, you know, my Senate candidate for my local district up here, Joan Ballwig, hasn't responded to that. She has not. She said, well, there was irregularities in the election. No, there was not irregularities that impacted the results of the election.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. Pat Kreitlow, we had both former Republican Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen on the show last week, who said Trump lost, Biden won, elections are free and fair, along with former Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said the same thing. We need more people speaking up like that, to Mark's point.
Right, because again, this is a case of you say something often enough, people believe it. And Joan Ballwig and plenty of other people have kept saying, well, there were irregularities. I'm not saying there was anything overtly big wrong, but there were some irregularities. And our biggest mistake, I guess, going back to 2020, is not just simply disagreeing, but laughing them out of the room or hounding them out of the room because it was so insulting to hint at irregularities in the hopes of making a bigger point, in the hopes of maybe somebody else would find some fraud. There wasn't. This was as typical an election as they come. But by using that word irregularities, which I feel like every Republican in the Wisconsin legislature used at one time or another, they've created this monster. And that monster is a segment of the population that is very, very friendly with the idea of some kind of authoritarian takeover of the Wisconsin Elections Commission or the United States government itself.
And you know, my former boss, Dale Schultz, endorsed Harris Walz this past week, and he was interviewed in one of the interviews he did. And he said, look, there came a point when I was still in the state Senate my last term where I said I can no longer defend my colleagues on this issue because we actually, when I worked for him, we did our own research in 2011, and we only found two cases of actual voter fraud. One was a Republican staffer who voted in Madison and then up in her home district up north. And the other one was, I think it was wife number two, kind of like that commercial. Like Lou, he's only on wife number two. Robin Voss's then estranged wife who voted in Racine and then out in Idaho. That was it. And Glenn Grothman has told me directly, well, we thought there was voter fraud. There just isn't.
No, you never did. Trig V, you're closer to those folks than I am. Why wasn't enough done to say to from one Republican to another, no, this is dangerous. You got to shut this down.
You know, one of the most interesting quotes of that entire sort of debacle came about 7 to 10 days after the election. And I don't know what Republican senator it was. I've two suspects that others have conjectured to, which I won't say. But the quote in the Post was, what's it going to hurt? We'll just humor him for a while.
Yeah.
And that was a colossal miscalculation because the reality is, surveys right after, some of which I was part of, showed 95% of Republicans believed he lost. Fair and square. Mm. And within, by December 10th, that was down around 40%. You can't let a lie like that go unchallenged. And the truth is, and I saw this around the world in my work, and I was saying it at that time, democracies die in the silence of people who know better at the end of the day. And I think it is critically important that as many voices as possible speak out. I think the good news is this time. I mean, I don't think that, Pat, you ever thought that you would be in a coalition for president with Karl Rove.
No.
You now are. Or Mike Pence.
Yeah, right.
Or Liz has been out there for a while. But there are more and more voices who are speaking out. And in fact, I keep thinking I owe Karl a text just to say, hey, thanks for doing the right thing. Because that's the other thing that, on what I've seen on our side is, and on the Democratic side to a degree, sometimes we're not good enough. I think you guys are better about saying thank you than some of us who got out before. And we all need to say thank you when people are standing up like that.
That's so true. True.
Quick off the text line, Cam at Appleton says, quote, it's a joke. It's the one time in recent history we should have just been mass bullies to these people, even when we... I'm not sure what that is. These people are built on, I guess, attacking.
Even if we win, what the hell do we do about the mental health crisis? These people are built on lead pipes and street soup, unquote.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Kim. We appreciate that. More importantly, perhaps the Lincoln Project social media has been on fire lately. Keep up the good work, says Michaela, listening on WAUK in West Bend. Also, Pat Kreitel, up North News, on fire as well. You can hear him every morning from 6 until 8. Thanks, Pat.
My pleasure. See you guys.
Don't go anywhere. Back with your calls and more Trigvy Olson straight ahead. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Israel striking Iran overnight. The unprecedented aerial bombardment in retaliation for an Iranian missile attack on Israel weeks ago.
A senior administration official says this should be the end of direct military exchange between Israel and Iran. This official says that Israel's strikes on multiple military targets in Iran were both precise and targeted. This official says that Israel did notify the U.S. ahead of the strike, but underscored that there was no U.S. involvement.
ABC Selena Wang. 10 days until Election Day, former President Trump visiting Joe Rogan for an interview on his popular podcast before a rally in Michigan Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris rallying in Austin, Texas, along with music superstar Beyonce. E. coli cases linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders rising to 75 across 13 states. The CDC saying Friday at least 22 people hospitalized. Los Angeles Dodgers star Freddie Freeman hitting a grand slam in the 10th inning to win Game 1 of the World Series 6-3 over the Yankees. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose their home opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks started out hot, but could not keep up with the Bulls, losing 133-122. Chicago's Kobe White scoring 35 points. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers after the loss.
That was a disappointing game from us, but give them credit. Like, they shot the heck out of the ball. They played hard. They had more endurance than us. You can see that through the game. So give them a lot of credit.
The Bucks head east to play the Nets tomorrow night. College football, Wisconsin hosts number 3-ranked Penn State tonight in Madison. The Badgers, 6.5-point underdogs. Baseball, the Dodgers with a 6-3 win in 10 innings over the Yankees in game one. Freddie Freeman with the first walk-off grand slam in World Series history.
Those are the kind of things when you're 5 years old with your two older brothers and you're playing football in the backyard, and those are the scenarios you kind of dream about. Base loaded, two outs in a World Series game, and for it to actually happen and hit a home run and walk it off, that's as good as it gets right there.
That's the Dodgers' Freddie Freeman. Game two tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 33. Sunny Sunday, highs around 63. Warmer on Monday, breezy as well, a high near 70 degrees. And even warmer Tuesday, windy back to the low 80s.
27 right now at our studios.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. Up next, we're going to skip on ahead to Friday's show, where Peter Rabine from E-Bombs World joined us to talk about the week in review with a bit more of a personal touch than usual.
Welcome to the 1950s, where everything is fine, everything is calm. Leave it to Beaver, June and Ward Cleaver. It's the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 past the hour of 1 o'clock. What do you dial up there, Mr. Zomers?
That is the theme to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because that show has some very, I'll say, unique
characters.
Yes.
And we're about to hear about some of those.
Yes, I cannot wait. He is joining us once again from the beautiful city of Brooklyn, New York. Mr. Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World, for another edition of Week in Review. Peter, welcome back. How are things in the Big Apple?
Exciting.
It's been one of these kind of weeks for you too, I understand.
Yes. Since the last time we've talked, a lot has changed in my personal life. Long story short, I'm in a new living situation. I have a sublet that I got from a friend, and it has been anything but boring.
So you had to move rather unexpectedly, it sounds like. You had to move into a new place. You're subletting. Are you still in Brooklyn? You don't have to tell us, but I mean, are you still in the same general vicinity or a different part of New York?
I am. I'm in Brooklyn still, just a different neighborhood. Right. One that's, you'll hear soon, is a little more lively.
But that's the heart and soul of New York, the sirens, the excitement, the, you know, the...
Crackheads.
You've moved into a more crackhead-esque neighborhood, is that true?
I now live in ground zero of Crackhead Central.
But the upside is it's not gentrified. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, not entirely. Not entirely. Though they are trying.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. You know,
yeah, so the place I'm living in now, the landlord, his nephew, lives in the front yard of my new apartment.
The front yard. Not the front unit, the front yard. All right.
Yes. He lives in like our little gated off area, and he has all of his treasures, all of his wares. And his name's Bobby. He's a really sweet guy, actually. So this weekend I went skateboarding for the first time in like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I rolled my ankle. Ooh. So I was hobbled Monday. And Monday morning I come out to go to the store or the corner to pick up my laundry. I'm on crutches. Bobby sees me. And despite being a crackhead, he is clearly rolled his ankle before. Because the first thing he says to me is verbatim every article I read the day before about how to heal my ankle.
Really?
He's like, Peter, you've got to ice it first. Don't do heat until tomorrow. Just ice. Ice it, put it up, get a compression wrap, and that's all you're going to do today. And then tomorrow, you're going to put the heat on it. And you're going to alternate ice and heat, ice and heat. And he's so sweet, and he's giving me all this information. I'm looking at him like, Bobby, how do you know this? Like, how do you, like, you're Bobby GPT of, like, you know, medical advice. Really sweet guy. I go away. I get my laundry. I come back. And this is the duality of Bobby. Sure. When I get back, he's chopping up with an angle grinder a trashed moped that someone had found, either him or one of his friends, in the front yard. And he's ripping out the wires. He's taking the copper. He's taking the metal. He's sorting them in different boxes in the front yard. And then later that night, it was Monday, and he's like the central crackhead leader of the neighborhood, and he has a gang that follows him around. So later that night, I come out of my front door to, you know, get an Uber Eats delivery, and him and every crackhead in the neighborhood, somehow they found like a 40-inch TV and they're watching Monday Night Football on the sidewalk. And there's like six or seven of them just hanging out, drinking beers, obviously smoking crack.
Obviously.
Yeah. The living situation was short-lived. I ended up having to move out because the person I was subletting from was subletting from another person, and that person was subletting from another person. So there were four layers of sublets, and there was a new roommate moving in, and the second person, so the original subletter A told subletter B that she had to kick out all of her subletters, and subletter C told me that I had to pretend to be him for 2 weeks because the new guy moving in wasn't allowed to know that I was subletting from someone else. So I ended up dipping yesterday, and I'm on crutches. And so I'm moving out, and Bobby sees me, and he's a really sweet guy. He's a nice guy. So he actually helped me load all of my bags and stuff into my Uber for me, gave me a dap when I left. So Bobby, you're probably not listening to this, but. Maybe he is. Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to unpack there, but I mean, in one regard, I mean, you know, addiction and living on the street is nothing to be joked about at all. It's just a sad thing. No. But then you've also, as wonderful as New York City is, like any place else, it's got its problems and uniqueness. And this is how people just, they get along. I mean, everybody's got something. And for some people, it's they put, you know, the wrong pepper in the tuna casserole, and other people are dealing with addiction in New York and tearing apart mopeds. And this is a wonderful slice of Americana.
Exactly. And it, and for me at first, you know, I had been told, hey, that, you know, there's a guy who hangs out front. It's, you know, maybe a little seedy, but I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was nice. I was kind of feeling alone. It was like, well, at least I can always go and talk to Bobby. Like, he'll be hanging out.
Right.
He'll give me some good advice.
And the fact that, again, is this normal New York type of activity where there's like four subletters? Because I don't think a lot of that stuff happens here in Wisconsin.
No, not always, but it's probably not too hard to find. Yeah.
Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something going on.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is the second day I moved in, there was a leak in the bathroom. So I had a pot sitting on the bathroom sink.
Sure.
And every day I would dump it, you know, 4 or 5 inches of water. And someone had given the landlord my number. And so me and him became really close friends because he would call me twice a day and be like, Peter, how's the leak? Peter, how's the leak? Yeah. And I'd say, every day it leaks at 5 o'clock. And he's like, okay, I'll call back tomorrow. And every day I'd be like, still leaking. So when I left, there was a giant hole in the ceiling and I handed the keys off to some other guy. And I'm like, hey, a couple things you need to know. There's a leak in the bathroom. The guy named Bobby out front, he might seem kind of scary, but he's really nice. If you can pay him a couple bucks to help you move in if you want. That's New York, baby.
That's New York. It's New York. And not unlike me, take a leak at 5 o'clock. So right there, that's the way it goes. I'm not sure what any headline could top this, Peter. And all of this going on in your life, God love you, you still have got internet and set yourself up and join our little show. I mean, I couldn't be more grateful to you.
Oh, I appreciate you. Yeah, no, it's a good distraction. You know, I don't necessarily like to shy away from the drama. If anything, you just kind of have to embrace it.
And I think it shows great resiliency on your part because, like we said, everybody's got something. And we don't know when we encounter people every day, no matter where it is, Wisconsin or Brooklyn, and people seem a little ornery, a little upset. Well, you don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe it's a lot more than what's going on in yours. And it's a great reminder that we're all part of this big old globe going through the universe together and just have a little bit more patience with each other.
Yeah. Like if I had just judged him on his looks, right, I never would have talked to him. But he ended up being a really sweet guy, gave me some great advice. And help me out in a pinch because I've been on crutches this week. So moving out with all these bags would have taken me a lot longer without him.
Just be kind to one another. That's you know what I mean? Just be kind.
Exactly.
And as Ted Lasso says, you know, be curious, not judgmental. I think that's great. All right, Peter. Again, I'm not sure we can do anything more than that. That was the best part of the week so far for me. But let's get to it. Headlines. Again, these are not made up. This is not fiction. Like Peter Rapine's life, it is real and it's actual, and it's so strange that you can't make this stuff up. So here are actual headlines from actual stories. Peter, what do you got?
So I don't want to, you know, top that, but I do have headlines that are funnier than that.
All right, here we go.
So first one is man flies to the top of the pyramids only to find a dog just chilling.
I saw this week. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this real? And it is apparently.
Yeah. So a paraglider flew over one of the pyramids of Giza and he saw a Labrador at the top barking at a bunch of birds.
How did the Labrador get on top of a pyramid in Egypt?
Well, when you ever seen a dog chase a squirrel?
Oh, yes.
Or a bird? If there's no one to stop him, he'll just keep going. One of the best tweets I saw was like, hey, don't bother him. That's God.
Right? On top of a pyramid. But we hope the dog was okay. He just got a little excited and ran out of pyramids to go up.
Yeah, no, he might still be there for all we know, barking at birds. But what a life. What a life that dog lives.
Right?
We will have it linked in the show description. I recommend watching the video. There's not a lot to hear, so I'm not going to play it now. But it's funny. You just watch, you know, like the angle flying over and like, yep, It's just chilling.
Just chilling. Just a dog chilling on top of the pyramids. All right, headline number two.
Oh, gosh. Russell Brand is selling $239 magical amulets to protect you from airports.
Now, let's set this up. Russell Brand, if you don't know, he was married to Katy Perry for a while, right? Or they were together.
He was. Yeah. I think
so he kind of had his heyday then, and he was big for a minute. He had a podcast, I think. Maybe he still does. And then he got himself into some trouble because, you know, he started saying racist, terrible, ridiculous things. And sponsors were like, yeah, not so much. But he's still around and now trying to hawk $239 magical amulets. Explain what an amulet is. And why would you need protection from airports?
So I think he was also accused of sexual assault of some kind.
I believe you're right.
And the joke is always, right, the abuser to right-wing grifter pipeline.
Yeah, right.
And no one embodies that better than, I think, Russell Brand. But right. The devices are these, like, small little metals, crystals, bunch of more or less garbage, right, encased in, like, some kind of resin that you can wear around your neck to, like, ward off 5G signals or, like, negative signals. But in his little sponsor video, he's walking around with, like, a suitcase that clearly has nothing inside of it. And he's like, look how strong this amulet makes me. And he's, like, lifting up this, like, 4-pound empty suitcase, kind of walking out of the woods. And he's like, airports are dangerous. There's a lot of terrible things in airports. Make sure you have this $200 amulet so you get terrible reception in the airport.
All right, against my better judgment, Zommers, let's listen to it. Here we go.
Hello, I'm just back from Narnia, where I had a holiday, Mr. Tumnus, Aslan, all those guys. And as you know, airports are places full of Wi-Fi and all sorts of evil energies. Think of all the phones out there, all of the signals, corruptible and corrupting. Luckily, I wear this magical amulet from AirTech that keeps me safe from all of the various signals out there. And also means, look at this, look how strong I am. I think this is making me more powerful, as a matter of fact. Look at that.
It's clearly
this
empty.
Stuff is absolutely right. Packed with AirTech. I didn't even bring any socks or toothbrush or dog meat or anything like that. Just completely full of AirTech. You should get one as well, particularly if you're planning to go to an airport anytime soon, because the bloody things are full of lethal signals. AirTech, okay.
I've heard enough. I mean, you can just hear it in his voice. He knows this is a scam. He knows this is a grift. Yeah. And he's laughing at him. And you can tell it. I mean, he's getting people to buy air for $239 and saying, and this, here's the sad thing, Peter. There are people out there that are going to buy it.
100%. But there is one thing he said that I do agree with him with, is that airports are filled with negative energy. Well, if you've ever been hungover in a terminal and you just spent $14 on a sandwich that has one tiny little piece of lettuce in it,
negative energy.
So I can relate. Only to a certain degree.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know if I've ever been hungover in an airport, but yeah, I mean, overpriced, way too full. What I always hate is you get off a plane and you got to take a leak really bad, and you get to the closest the bathroom as you get off your plane, and there's a big yellow thing across that says closed for cleaning. The closest bathroom next terminal. And you're like, Judas Priest. I mean, really? That's just, so yes, a lot of negative energy in an airport. Certainly no doubt. But I mean, Russell Brand. I mean, he's just stealing. And you're right. You're 100% right, Peter. I mean, this is the Donald Trump model, right? Get in trouble, be a sexual predator, and then sell air. Yeah. I mean, that's right there. All right, we'll come back and explain what this music is all about. More with Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, A Week in Review. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Peter Rabine from E-Bombs World joined us to talk about the week in review. Don't miss it.
Again, a big shout out to our friends and family up there at WRCO, WRCE in Richland Center, celebrating 75 years on the air today, 75th anniversary of RCO in the old hometown, first radio station I ever worked in back in 1987. Yes, I am technically an old person. Also, don't forget, coming up tonight from 6 until 7 at the Madison Public Library, our friend Ari Berman, author of this great book called Minority Rule. I've got it in my hot little hands here. You can get one of these books, pick it up, get it signed by Ari Berman tonight from 6 until 7 at the Madison Public Library downtown. And then from 7 until 8, join Terry Bell and myself for a special coverage of the Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, OC, Orange County, Eric Hovde, who is flying in from California just to participate in a debate. It should be a good time had by all. Eric Hovde, Tammy Baldwin, tonight at 7 o'clock. Right now, though, going to wrap things up with our ongoing contributor, our friend, joining us live from Brooklyn, New York, where things are magical and things happen every day on the street there. A managing editor of EPOM's World with a Week in Review. Next headline, Mr. Rapine.
Okay, so I have a gripe to pick with the people of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Give it
seems
to us.
Seems like they've run out of ideas. headline reads, Guinness Book of World Record runs out of ideas. Has man bounce on bricks with his head.
What?
So the record that was just set, which clearly is a world record that they allowed in their book, the record was the most concrete blocks broken with the head by forward flips in 1 minute.
What?
I'll read that again.
Yeah.
Most concrete blocks broken with the head by forward flips in 1 minute.
So he flips a concrete block into his head and breaks it.
No, so there's a bunch of concrete blocks on the ground in front of him. He does front flips, smashes them with his head, and lands on his feet, and then does it again repeatedly, breaking a total of 126 bricks.
Is his name Bobby? I mean, well, you have to be on drugs to do that. What the heck? How does a person even do that 126 times without passing out?
Well, they're in stacks of more than one brick.
Yeah. Yeah, there's stacks of like 7 or 8 bricks.
Oh, my God. There's video. I'm looking at this now.
I'm not sure how you practice this or...
So the bricks are on a gymnasium floor. It looks like maybe a small piece of wood between the stack of bricks and the floor. And this guy is doing forward flips like in a karate outfit. And he basically does a headstand on the bricks and they break in half. Is that an accurate description?
Very great. Very perfect description.
And how this guy does this and remains conscious is beyond me. And now he's going to second row, and it's a little bit harder for him to get up, as it turns out. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. See, I would apply for this job because I would the Guinness Book of World Record acceptor, because I would accept things like most subleases in apartment.
Peter Rapine, the unofficial subletter of a world record.
How many scooters can be chopped in an afternoon?
All right, what else we got here, Peter?
All right, so Al Pacino is in the news because he has a memoir coming out, and he has just given us so many great headlines. So the headline he gave us this week, which was in People magazine, reads, Al Pacino confirms he doesn't live with 16-month-old son, Roman, but says he texts me from time to time.
His 16-month-old son texts him from time to time.
So obviously the internet had a ton of fun with this, and there are more than enough tweets to go around. imagining what the two of them are texting about. Aaron, if you want to read off too.
All right, here we go.
Are we going to look at number 9 first?
All right. Yeah. All right, very good.
Number 9, 16-month-old texting, goo goo gaga. Al Pacino texting, hoo hoo ah ah.
So clearly this is the child's mother who lives somewhere else, doesn't live with Al Pacino, and she's like taking photos and supposedly texting for the kid?
Just something? I want to imagine that the kid is just texting GHJTYRE.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. And then the other best one from the roundup is, Mr. Pacino, you're due on set. Not now. I'm texting a baby.
Well, and I mean, God love Al Pacino. The man is in his 80s and he's still getting it done, apparently. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's still fathering kids. He's very feral or virile or something fertile.
Yeah. There you go.
The kid will be set for me. Assuming the mother gets some kind of a deal, I mean, the kid will be set for at least part of its life.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Al Pacino's son, he'll be fine. Maybe he'll be an actor one day.
Maybe.
Or maybe he'll be in Mensa because he's a 16-month-old baby and he can already text message. So.
Right?
He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Very, very bright indeed. All right. We got about a minute, Peter. Any other quick? Oh, actually, less than a minute. We should probably wrap it up on that note. Peter Rapa, I cannot thank you enough with everything going on in your life. You took time for us again today. We appreciate you so much. Be well, be safe, and best of luck moving to the new, the next sublet.
Thank you, Todd. Always great being here.
The feeling is mutual. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World. You can find all those stories at EPOMsWorld.com. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next week. As Todd always says, whatever you believe, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the YWEGA Film Festival, and Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. With just 10 days until Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris held a rally in Houston with megastar Beyonce. Harris describing it as ground zero in the fight over reproductive rights and access to abortion.
You know it ain't right that you may have fewer rights than your mother or your grandmother.
Former President Trump rallying in Traverse, Michigan Friday night, trying to appeal to the large Arab community there. He bashed the support Harris has drawn from his one-time loyal fellow GOPer Liz Cheney.
And why would Muslims support Kamala when she embraces
Muslim-hating Liz Cheney. Can you believe Liz Cheney?
In 2015, Trump proposed banning Muslims from entering the United States, a ban he then tried to implement as president. Israel attacking military targets in Iran overnight. It was in a response for Iran's barrage of missiles at Israel after the killing of Hezbollah's leader. A U.S. official says that much of the Israeli operation was conducted by manned aircraft. This is ABC News. E. coli cases linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders rising to 75 across 13 states. The CDC said Friday at least 22 people have been hospitalized. Raw onions or beef patties used for the burger may be behind the outbreak. More from ABC's Mola Lange.
The cramps were unbearable.
Clarissa DeBach got sick, but is thankful her two-year-old son, who got some of her fries, didn't get a bite of her burger.
It's just really scary to think if he would have, you know, by chance gotten a bite of it or touched it and then touched his mouth.
McDonald's supplier of the onions, Taylor Farms, says they recalled them out of an abundance of caution. And McDonald's has pulled the Quarter Pounder off the menu entirely in 900 restaurants in affected areas.
Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has cleared concussion protocol and will start again.